he turned their attention to themselves. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 174. This is the daily podcast where we are reading the entire Bible in 1 year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm glad you're here today. Welcome. Our reading today is Luke 13 and 14. To find out what Bible translation I'm using today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode 174. If you'd like to get in touch with me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Can you believe Christmas is almost here? I can't, but it is. So I have a question for you. Do you have a student of the Bible in your life who would enjoy knowing how to pronounce all those long, scary-looking names in the Bible? I just happen to have a gift idea for you. Yeah, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide, in my humble opinion, would be just perfect for them. The book is available in three different forms: softcover, PDF, and MP3. Now, if you want the softcover, listen up. You'll need to order right away for there to be enough time to get to you before Christmas. And remember to use promo code PODCAST for a 25% discount. I'll even throw in free shipping. But keep in mind, if you want the softcover in time for Christmas, time is of the essence. So hurry over to EasyBibleNamesGuide.com and order today. Of course, the PDF and MP3 versions are downloadable, so there's no waiting for them to arrive. You can download them as soon as you make your purchase at EasyBibleNamesGuide.com. Don't forget promo code PODCAST. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts. Let us know what it is you want us to learn today and how to apply it to our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get started. Luke chapter 13. At that time, some people were there who told Jesus that Pilate had killed some people from Galilee while they were worshiping. He mixed their blood with the blood of the animals they were sacrificing to God. Jesus answered, "Do you think this happened to them because they were more sinful than all others from Galilee? No, I tell you. But unless you change your hearts and lives, you will be destroyed as they were. What about those 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Do you think they were more sinful than all the others who live in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you change your hearts and lives, you will all be destroyed too." Jesus told this story. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came looking for some fruit on the tree, but he found none. So the man said to his gardener, "I have been looking for fruit on this tree for 3 years, but I never find any. Cut it down. Why should it waste the ground?" But the servant answered, "Master, let the tree have one more year to produce fruit. Let me dig up the dirt around it and put on some fertilizer. If the tree produces fruit next year, good. But if not, you can cut it down." Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. A woman was there who, for 18 years, had an evil spirit in her that made her crippled. Her back was always bent. She could not stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are free from your sickness." Jesus put his hands on her, and immediately she was able to stand up straight and began praising God. The synagogue leader was angry because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. He said to the people, "There are 6 days when one has to work, so come to be healed on one of those days and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord answered, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you untie your work animals and lead them to drink water every day, even on the Sabbath day? This woman that I healed, a daughter of Abraham, has been held by Satan for 18 years. Surely it is not wrong for her to be freed from her sickness on a Sabbath day." When Jesus said this, all of those who were criticizing him were ashamed, but the entire crowd rejoiced at all the wonderful things Jesus was doing. Then Jesus said, "What is God's kingdom like? What can I compare it with? It is like a mustard seed that a man plants in his garden. The seed grows and becomes a tree, and the wild birds build nests in its branches. Jesus said again, "What can I compare God's kingdom with? It is like yeast that a woman took and hid in a large tub of flour until it made all the dough rise." Jesus was teaching in every town and village as he traveled toward Jerusalem. Someone said to Jesus, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" Jesus said, "Try hard to enter through the narrow door, because many people will try to enter there, but they will not be able. When the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you can stand outside and knock on the door and say, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in the streets of our town.' But he will say to you, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Go away from me, all you who do evil.' You will cry and grind your teeth with pain when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in God's kingdom, but you yourselves thrown outside. People will come from the east, west, north, and south, and will sit down at the table in the kingdom of God. There are those who are last now who will be first in the future, and there are those who are first now who will be last in the future." At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Go away from here. Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go tell that fox Herod, 'Today and tomorrow I am forcing demons out and healing people. Then on the third day I will reach my goal. Yet I must be on my way today and tomorrow and the next day. Surely it cannot be right for a prophet to be killed anywhere except in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone to death those who are sent to you. Many times I wanted to gather your people as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me. Now your house is left completely empty. I tell you, you will not see me until that time when you will say, 'God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Luke 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to share a meal in the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. A man suffering from an abnormal swelling of the body was there. Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Does the law allow healing on the Sabbath or not?" But they said nothing. Jesus took hold of the sick man, cured him, and then let him go. He said to them, "Suppose your child or ox falls into a ditch on the Sabbath day. Wouldn't you immediately pull it out?" But they had no response. When Jesus noticed how the guests sought out the best seats at the table, he told them a parable. When someone invites you to a wedding celebration, don't take your seat in the place of honor. Someone more highly regarded than you could have been invited by your host. The host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give your seat to this other person." Embarrassed, you will take your seat in the least important place. Instead, when you receive an invitation, go and sit in the least important place. When your host approaches you, he will say, "Friend, move up here to a better seat." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. Then Jesus said to the person who had invited him, "When you host a lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, or rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return, and that will be your reward. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, crippled, lame, and blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you will be repaid when the just are resurrected." When one of the dinner guests heard Jesus' remarks, he said to Jesus, "Happy are those who will feast in God's kingdom." Jesus replied, "A certain man hosted a large dinner and invited many people. When it was time for the dinner to begin, he sent his servant to tell the invited guests, 'Come, the dinner is now ready.' One by one, they all began to make excuses. The first one told him, 'I bought a farm and must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I bought 5 teams of oxen and I'm going to check on them. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' When he returned, the servant reported these excuses to his master. The master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go quickly to the city's streets, the busy ones and the side streets, and bring the poor, crippled, blind, and lame.' The servant said, 'Master, your instructions have been followed and there is still room.' The master said to the servant, go to the highways and back alleys and urge people to come in so that my house will be filled. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will taste my dinner." Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Turning to them, he said, "Whoever comes to me and doesn't hate father and mother, spouse and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, even one's own life, cannot be my disciple. Whoever doesn't carry their own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If one of you wanted to build a tower, wouldn't you first sit down and calculate the cost to determine whether you have enough money to complete it? Otherwise, when you've laid the foundation but couldn't finish the tower, all who see it will begin to belittle you. They will say, 'Here's the person who began construction and couldn't complete it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down to consider whether his 10,000 soldiers could go up against the 20,000 coming against him? And if he didn't think he could win, he would send a representative to discuss terms of peace while his enemy was still a long way off. In the same way, none of you who are unwilling to give up all your possessions can be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt loses its flavor, how will it become salty again? It has no value, neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. People throw it away. Whoever has ears to hear should pay attention." Let's take a look for a moment at Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. Now, for context, Jesus was speaking to a large crowd. He was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. He knew that his time was short. And someone in the crowd asks him about an event that we don't really know much about historically. But evidently, some Galileans had been killed by Pilate's men while they were offering sacrifices. It seems that to Jesus, the condition of the souls of the people in the crowd was of more importance than those Galileans that had been killed. It might be a similar situation to when the child of King David and Bathsheba was sick. David cried and fasted and wore sackcloth and was in mourning, and he was just praying that the child would recover, but to no avail, the child died. Well, David's servants were afraid to tell him because they were concerned what David would do when he heard the news, since he was so distraught while the child was sick. But when they did finally tell him, he cleaned himself up and went back to his normal routines. And when asked about his behavior, he said, "Well, while the child was sick, there was a chance that he would recover. But now he's died. I can't bring him back. I know that I'll go where he is, but he can't come back here." So instead of Jesus spending a lot of time discussing what happened to the Galileans, he turned their attention to themselves. He said, "Those Galileans didn't die because they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans, but unless you change your hearts and lives, you will die just like they did." So why did he say that? What was he talking about? I think there's every possibility that Jesus was thinking about the destruction that was going to be coming on Jerusalem in about 70 years, the destruction of Jerusalem that took place in 70 AD as a result of their rejecting him. What are your thoughts? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow, we are going to begin the book of Philippians as we read the first two chapters. And remember, for gift giving, easybiblenamesguide.com has some great products for you. Remember to use promo code PODCAST for 25% off. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here today. Bye.